Okay, our scripture reading for today is, hopefully I can see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 to 17. For though you might have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. Indeed, in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. I appeal to you then, be imitators of me. For this reason, I sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ Jesus, as I teach them everywhere in every church. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. I'm not a father yet, but I have a dog, and I call myself a dog dad. And not to brag or anything, but he's pretty cool. His name's Thor. And he brought me a wet tennis ball this morning, so I think that was my Father's Day gift. I'm really excited because I want to talk about godly dads and their children. It is turned on. You can just hit it. It's all good. So, godly dads and their children. I'm just going to read a quick passage from the book of Joshua. There we go. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. The key part there is mentioning Joshua says at the end, we serve the Lord. Me and my house, we serve the Lord. But what he's doing is he's challenging believers to make a choice. In our current society and culture, we are faced with this same choice. We can serve the Lord or we can serve other things. It might not be the gods that our fathers knew in Egypt, but there are things that we are tempted to serve. There's things like money, where we're tempted to pursue it to the point that it can consume our thoughts and our actions, and we measure our entire worth based on our bank account. Or it could be the pursuit of power, that we want to have influence, and that ability that we want to be able to control people and call people, and it takes away from when our Heavenly Father tells us that we are to serve humbly to one another. Or we have obsessions with physical attractions and physical sins, like alcohol, like sex, like drugs. And the obsession for this constant gratification overshadows the idea of love and relationships and takes away from our understanding of what love is. When we talk to the youth and young adults, the most thing that we have that's challenging is success. We have this drive for achievement and recognition, and that can lead us to compromise our values so that we can be viewed as successful. And then we can ignore the importance of integrity and character because the most important thing is that we are viewed as superior to our peers. Jesus addresses this in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 24, where it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Joshua was a really great father because he did not only devote his family to the Lord. He devoted himself. I have a story about a pastor's conference a couple of years ago I was at. If you've ever been to a pastor's conference, it's a lot of guys that like to hear themselves talk. As pastors, we say, give us 5 minutes, you're going to be there 15. I'm sorry, it's just who we are. So we're at this pastor's conference, and they asked all the room of pastors, what do you think your congregation needs? What do they need from you the most? You know what we think? It's my dynamic preaching style. It's my insight of theological excellence. My strategic leadership. my musical ability, but for me that's definitely not true. But in reality, what a congregation needs the most is for their pastor to be devoted to the Lord. What was heartbreaking was not one single pastor was able to come up with that answer. By the same token, we need our fathers to not be brilliant businessmen. We don't need them to be 5-star Michelin chefs. We need them to show us that they care. We need them to be present. We need them to devote themselves to the Lord, and we need them to devote themselves to their families. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate." This passage begins with the Shema. The Shema in Jewish culture is a central declaration of Jewish faith that is said multiple times a day. That the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It emphasizes the unique and unified nature of God, calling us to love him entirely. But I was really drawn to verse 7, as it teaches us to teach God's words diligently to our children. And it's not this casual thing. It literally says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you wake up. It means that we should be talking about Jesus all the time. And we should be talking about God's creation constantly and everything that God does. Now this, I have another really fun story about. Do you guys know what Vacation Bible School is? Vacation Bible School is one of the coolest things in the world when you're a kid. And when you're a teenager volunteering at it, it is one of the most stressful things because little kids are easy to lose. So, at our church, I had the opportunity to volunteer for Vacation Bible School. And our youth pastor at the time thought it would be a great idea to take the kids to the zoo. Now, immediately, I want you to imagine 4-year-olds. If you're a parent, you know they're hard to track. Very, very challenging. Easy to lose. They're compact. They're fast. I'll be honest, Thor was much easier to train. So I was 15, and we got to walk and go to the zoo, and you explore the different parts of the zoo. And I realized one of the most beautiful things in the world is seeing the world from a child's eyes. Because they look at the zebra and they're like, that is so cool. And you get to tell them, yeah, God made that. You see the giraffe, which is like a zebra, but with a 16-foot neck. And you get to say, God made that. You see the cute penguins. And you get to say, yeah, God made that. We as parents, we as leaders, we as people who get to interact with the children of this church, have an obligation to show them that all the beauty in this world, that beautiful stained glass window right back there, God inspired the mind that made that. The beautiful cityscape that we live in, God made that. The nature when we go up north to our cottages and we see all the trees, God made that. Every single thing that's beautiful in this world, God made, and we are obligated to share that with our children. So when I went to the zoo, I was absolutely terrified because I was nervous about, one, losing a kid, two, the lion's roar scared me one time, and thirdly, the zoo smells really bad in summer. But it was one of the most exciting experiences I've ever had as a leader because I realized the joy that comes just from hearing children laugh. Seeing that God did that. God had fun. So what are the practical steps, Pastor Tom? You've given us the theology. What's the practical step? Number one, if we're going to devote ourselves to the Lord, is to prioritize our relationship with God. It's really easy. Just spend time in prayer, read some scripture, listen to worship music on car rides, and show that God can be part of your everyday life and your decisions. Don't make a big decision without praying, and show your children how to pray really young. Next, we can evaluate our commitments. Assess if our time is sometimes going to work too much, or if our resources are going to things that are putting our children on the back burner. And we have to make sure that everything we do, we're aligned with serving in God in some way. And next, we got to resist those cultural pressures. Be aware that there are influences that will pull you away from God, even if you're rooted in faith. There are distractions. Satan is a powerful enemy, and he knows you better than you know yourself sometimes. He knows your desires, he knows your weaknesses, and he will pull you away. That's why we have to remind ourselves to be prayerful, to be connected to the Lord. But like Joshua said, lead by example. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let your life and household be a testimony to God's transformative power. Let your life be an example to God. Just find God in all that we do. My second point is that godly dads demonstrate how to follow Christ. This past Sunday, me and Noah and Brandon and Lauren and Steve took the youth to the driving range because we have that golf tournament coming up, and some of them are going and they've never played golf before. So we went to the driving range and it was raining, but we had a lot of fun. And the most fun was, actually there's two young men right here, and Jaden, who would hit the ball and it would go, he would, if I wasn't looking, he'd be like, Pastor Tom, did you see? Were you watching? Were you watching? Asaf would then also be like, no, you're supposed to be watching me. Were you watching? I love it when kids say, were you watching? Because it means they want our attention. They want us to care. They value our opinion. Also, Elsie, great job. But guys, I got to give it. Elsie hit the ball 100 yards straight. First time golfing ever. Let's give her a hand. That's awesome. We are constantly being watched, and our kids constantly want our attention. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 to 16, it says that, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ. Through the gospel, I urge you then to be imitators of me. So as excited as I was that Jaden wanted me to watch him, I know in my role as a pastor and as a Christian, I should actually be saying, hey, Jaden, watch me. You want to know how to live a Godful life? Watch me. You want to know how to pray? Watch me. You want to know how to treat your wife or girlfriend? Watch me. You want to know how to live an ethical life? Watch me. You want to know how to be responsible? Watch me. You want to know what it looks like to honor God in everything you do? Watch me. I think that we as a church need to live a watch me life. No matter what we do, children are always going to be watching us. Paul says that he urges the church in Corinth to be imitators of him. I want to take it a little bit of a step further. There's a Christian rapper, his name is Lecrae. He's won multiple Grammy Awards for his lyricism. Lecrae talks about his relationship growing up in a single parent home. And I read these lyrics, I just want you to think about it. He denotes, I just want to be like you. Walk like, talk like, even think like you. The only one I could look to. You're teaching me to be just like you. Well, I just gotta be like you. We have the hearts and the eyes of these young people on us. The question is, what are we going to teach them? Are we going to teach them the right thing? Are we going to teach them how to love the Lord? Are we going to model a faith-filled life? Lecrae takes it a step further in the same song. He talks about that there wasn't a godly role model. And he says here, so now I'm looking at the media, following what they feed me. Rap stars, trap stars, whoever wants to lead me. Even though they lie, they still tell me that they love me. They say I'm good at bad things. but at least they're proud of me. Church family, we were praying, and it was an amazing prayer, about the fact that we have young people in this community that are out there with guns. We have people who are out in that community that are part of gangs. The reason they're part of that is because there's nothing there to fill the void. There's nothing there to step in and show them the proper way to go. We are young men and young women who fall into that kind of lifestyle. They're looking for somewhere to belong, for them to be shown that they matter, for them to be shown that someone cares about them. Church family, we can be that gap. We can reach into our community. We can show them that they matter. We can show them that we care about them. We can just live a watch me life. We can go out and we can connect with them. We can be pillars in our community. We can go outside and play basketball. I can tell you personally as a pastor that I've made more young people know the name Jesus by praying with them after basketball games than I've ever used in my seminary degree when I had to study Greek. I've had more success just getting to know people, meeting them where they are, putting my arm around their shoulder and saying, hey, Jesus loves you and I want to walk with you, just by showing them that they matter. I also want to be clear, you don't need to just be a parent to live a watch me life. Every Christian is called to be an example of Christ, whether in your workplace, in your community, in your social circles. People are observing how you are all the time. The second you proclaim yourself publicly as a Christian, people are going to know. When I was in university, I had the privilege and the blessing, to be honest, given our financial situation, of going on a scholarship to university. Because where I grew up, not a lot of people had that opportunity to go. And what opened my heart and what allowed me to share the gospel with people wasn't preaching, but it was the way that I conducted myself. I got asked more times when I was playing football and rugby at York, like, man, why don't you swear? Why don't you party? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And the truth is, it's because my Heavenly Father would tell me that's not what I'm supposed to do. And just by my conduct, I was able to serve a watch me life. That's helped me numerous times. I know you all have seen youth leaders like Noah who have been here and been present. If I wasn't able to live a watch me life, I wouldn't have been able to be a role model for him. The thing is, you don't know when God's going to use you. It'll just happen. I didn't know that we were going to start a Bible study at York. I didn't know that we were going to have the privilege of baptizing over 15 of my teammates. It just happened to work out that way because I knew the scripture and I knew that other people were watching and I wanted to show them what a good Christian was supposed to do. Not because I wanted to look down on them, but because I was just following my Heavenly Father's example. Every interaction that we have with people, not just in church, but every single place we go, is an opportunity to represent Jesus. At home, at work, in public, we can strive to reflect Christ's character in everything we do. Take that extra second. Say thank you. Ask people genuinely, how are you doing? Genuinely just take that 5 seconds out of your day to try and make the world a bit of a better place. And people ask you, like, why do you care? Because Jesus loves you, man. That's why. Why do you care? Because Jesus loves you. And because Jesus loves you, and I know Jesus, he would want me to love you too. That's why I care. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's our call as well. We will never, ever hit Christ's standard. We will never be close. I'll be honest, I sin every single day. We were just at a Baptist convention, and it was a lot of fun. And every morning when I woke up, I stubbed my toe on the air conditioner because it was right at the end of the bed. And I'm pretty sure what I said in my head was very sinful. So I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. But I'm saying we have to strive to be more like Jesus every single day. Just take that one step. And he will do the rest. So some practical applications of how you can live a watch me life. Be constantly devout. Make time for your daily devotions. Don't be embarrassed to pray at your desk. Pray publicly. Let those around you see your commitment to God. Acts of kindness. Perform a random act of kindness and service. Help people in need. Hey, can I buy you a coffee? Hey, I noticed you're hungry. Can I buy you a meal? Or even just, I can't tell you how many times I've been walking around the community like, hey, can I pray for you? You seem upset. Taking those small steps allow us to share the love of the Lord. Have an honest living. Be honest and ethical in everything you do. Show that your faith impacts every area of your life, including your integrity, including your business. And most importantly, because this is kind of the most challenging thing we live through right now, forgive freely. Practice forgiveness and grace in your relationships, demonstrating the forgiveness we have received through Jesus. Which leads me to my final point. Godly dads delight in their children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. So we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So God's unconditional love. The verse begins with the invitation to see what kind of love the Father has given to us. This highlights Jesus' love. It highlights God's love. If you read the Old Testament, and I promise I won't do a full Old Testament sermon because I don't want to drag the service on too long, but when you go through the Old Testament, you can see God's love at multiple times. Every time God extends his covenant to us, it is him showing love to us. When he used Moses to free the slaves out of Egypt, when he commissioned Noah to build the ark to save every animal on earth, we can see constant examples of God's love. And then he finally gives us the Messiah, who is without sin, who died for us. That love is truly unconditional. The challenge is, our earthly fathers, hopefully, and this is a challenge to the earthly fathers, should love us the same way, without condition. God's love does surpass all human understanding. But I can tell you, with my dad, there was never a time where, when I was young, and there was a scary sound, guess who I went to? Not mom, she was too little to fight. I went to dad, and I would hold his leg. When I would hold his leg, that's when I would feel the most safe. See, for a while, you view your dad as your superhero, and you think he can do no wrong. My grandma and I used to go, she used to walk me to school every day, and whenever I saw a broken car, I would say, oh, daddy can fix that. He couldn't. But because I watched him change a light bulb one time, I thought he was the handiest man alive. He was my absolute hero. On Father's Day, I want to give dads a reminder. The perfect love the Heavenly Father gives them, they should match and give to their children. Because dads, you are your kids' heroes. They want your time. They want to hear, I love you. Our identities of children of God shows that we are ultimately all children of God, and that gives us that Heavenly Father love. But you can reflect God's love in your everyday parenting. You can just take the time out. I remember when my dad would be really mad and he would be tired from work. My dad used to work as a delivery driver when I was really young. He'd work 12, 14, 16 hours. And like I said, we didn't have a ton of money, but I always wanted his time. So I would be like, Dad, can we go play catch? And I'll be honest, I can't imagine after 16 hours wanting to go play catch. But he would always make the time to do it. And then a lot. When I wanted him to coach my teams for T-ball, and I'll be honest, I wasn't that good at T-ball, he did it. Now, I'll be honest with you, church family. Not everyone has a great dad like mine. But we all have the opportunity to have a young person look at us where we can fill that gap. You don't know how God can use you. You don't know the power that your heart has if you're willing to submit. Because God, he can move mountains. He moved mountains with broken men. Look at Peter. He was angry. He denied Jesus. God used him. God can use the most broken people. God can use the most lost people. God can use people that don't even know they're being used, because that's the strength of the Messiah. Church family, God, His love and His heart is for every single person in this world. All, I believe we're almost at 8 billion. He loves them all the same way He loves you and me that are standing here today worshiping Him. And if you're willing to bring Him into everything that you do, He'll use you as an instrument for His love to bring people into the gospel. All you have to do is say yes. Get down, pray, and say, Heavenly Father, how can you use me today? How can I be of service? And please put me in the right spot. Church family, I believe God has anointed each and every one of us to be exactly where we are at every single moment, at every single time. And that every single thing that we experience throughout the day, He has already prescribed for us, and that it is going to happen because He loves us and we need to experience it. Church family, He'll use you. He's got to be open to it. Now, I want to end this sermon a little bit differently than I have in the past. If your dad is here, I'm going to encourage you to pray with the dads around you. Pray as a family. And if there's some people who don't have their whole family with them, please invite them in, because we are all one giant family under God. Just pray with those around you. And more specifically, pray for the dads and thank them for all that they do.